We're going to be extensively in our Bibles this morning, which is what you want to hear a pastor say. And so this is part two of a little mini-series on fear of the Lord. Church, we have got to live in the fear of the Lord. We got the recording going. You guys, thank you. When we fear the Lord, the fear of other things naturally diminishes. I'll say that again. When we fear the Lord, the fear of other things naturally diminishes. Now understand that there are times when fear is a good thing. For example, you shouldn't walk up to a wild moose and try to tickle its chin, or attempt to pet a bear like somebody I know. Fear should tell you that that is not a good idea. Fear also enables our fight and flight defenses. It produces adrenaline, which helps us run faster, get stronger, and fight harder. Adrenaline pumps easy in my own body. As a result, when I was a kid, I can't really explain this. Most of my friends could outrun me, but we'd run by, you know, scary houses. You know, when you're kids, your imagination is crazy. We're like, there's so much scary. And it's like a jetpack would get on me, and I would dust them. Like, I'd look back, and they're like four blocks behind me. And fear gets adrenaline flowing. As a police officer, I don't know if you know that police officers also have fear. They just got to get behind it and press forward. There were times when I had fear and the adrenaline would pump through my body so much that my hands would shake, not because of fear, because there was so much adrenaline, it would preserve my life. I had to be stronger, I had to be faster, I had to be smarter, and adrenaline helps all that. So fear can be a good thing, and that's good fear. However, bad fear is when we fail to trust in the Lord to take care of us or to handle a situation that we're uncertain about. Bad fear is the kind that's written in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And it often comes from a spirit of fear sent by the enemy to just bring chaos into our life, where we begin bowing under that spirit of fear. That's what Jason was talking about just a few moments ago. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, which means that if we have a spirit of fear, where did it come from? It came from somewhere else that wasn't God, and likely it came from the enemy. So God has not given us a spirit of fear, but the spirit that the Lord gives us is of power, love, and a sound mind. That is what God gives us to bring life to our life. So where does the fear of the Lord fit into our understanding of fear? Biblically defined, fear of the Lord involves respecting and honoring and showing the Lord honor. God fear includes conducting reverence for the Lord in our lives and obeying His commandments and keeping in mind that His presence is always with us. See, when we fear the Lord, we should be aware that the Lord is always around us. He's with us. He hasn't left us or forsake us, but that means that He's always near us. Fearing the Lord for a believer also means being conscious that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Scripture tells us that. This godly fear should enable us to make good choices that align with God's heart, His Word, and His character. And as we learned last week, when we have this kind of fear of the Lord, there are benefits, rewards, and blessings. We talked about this extensively last week. Y'all, God wants to bless. That is His heart, to bless His children. It's in His nature. And this is why God wanted Israel to have a healthy fear of the Lord. He wanted to bless them. God also knows that living in fear of Him helps a nation to run smoothly. People who fear the Lord are mindful of the fact that God is watching their every move. So there is more respect of each other, less crime, and fair and impartial justice for wrongdoing. Conversely, just as fearing the Lord enables a nation to run smoothly and fairly, not fearing the Lord can bring consequences to that nation. Let me show you what I mean in Scripture. I want to read a brief narration of Israel's consequences during a time when moral relativism, you know what moral relativism is? That means what you think is right is good for you. What I think is right is good for me. And there is no standard of right or wrong. So morally, it's kind of relative to the situation. It's whatever you think. And that comes from a lack of fear of the Lord. We'll have it on the screen here, but if you want to turn there, we'll be in the Old Testament here in just a few moments. There's a common phrase throughout the book of Judges summarizing the rise and fall of Israel over and over. And here is the phrase: and they did what was right in their own eyes. Or translated, they did not fear the Lord. So in Judges chapter 10, you could actually go to any of the book of Judges and you'll find this problem with Israel and why God allowed judgment to come upon them. Beginning in verse 6, it says, the people of Israel, again, so it was an ongoing pattern, did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served the Baals and the Ashtaroth, and the gods of Syria, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, and the gods of the Ammonites, and the gods of the Philistines. And they forsook the Lord and did not serve him. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of the Philistines and the hand of the Amorites. Do you see the problem? They quit fearing the Lord. They began to serve other gods. And they had consequences for doing so. They did what was right in their own eyes, and they paid the price. From Genesis to Revelations, we see the benefits of fearing the Lord. But we also see the consequences for not doing so. This morning, the question is presented to us again. Are we going to be a people who fear the Lord? Or are we going to be people who choose to trust in ourselves more than God? Do we want the benefits of fearing the Lord? Or do we want the consequences of not doing so? Last week I showed you the benefits and promises allotted to those who walk in the fear of the Lord. Today I want to open your eyes to the consequences for not doing so. Therefore, this message is entitled The Terror of the Lord. We're going to be predominantly in one section of the Bible, that's Deuteronomy chapter 28. So if you want to turn there, we're going to read the blessings that come with the fear of the Lord, and then we're going to read the curses that come with not fearing Him. I just want you to know before we jump in that this is one of the most difficult messages that I've had to prepare in a while. I don't know why it is. All week I was wrestling through Scripture. There's an abundance of Scripture on fear of the Lord. That's probably a little bit of it. Like, where do you start eating the elephant? But no matter what I wrote, no matter what I tried to put into a teaching form, it just wouldn't gel. All the way up until last night, about 3 in the morning, that was the case. The message was prepared. But the Lord spoke to my spirit. I believe it was the Lord. It sure wasn't me. Wanting to focus on just Deuteronomy chapter 28 this morning. We'll have some other scripture supporting this here in just a few moments. I don't know why that is. So about 2/4 of this message, half, was pushed out. And you're probably grateful we'll actually be out of here in a normal amount of time because of that. But I think the Lord has something that we're to pay attention to in this scripture this morning. So if you'll read it with me, beginning in chapter 1 of Deuteronomy 28:8. Now this is Moses talking to the children of Israel before they go into the promised land. And the Lord is speaking through Moses to remind the children that they have choices. And it is all tied around the fear of the Lord. So beginning in verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord, your God, to observe carefully all His commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Now these are the blessings we're going to read first. America has enjoyed a preeminent place in the world for over 200 years. This nation was founded on the commandments of God, founded under the watchful eye of the Lord of the Bible, the God of the Bible. And we were the most blessed nation to ever exist on this planet. Verse 2. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Give a shout out for the country folk. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, and the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Our nation has been the most prosperous nation that ever existed. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. We have plenty of food. We have so much food, we throw it away. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. This is a reference to war. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. And they shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself. There's never been a country like America spreading the gospel around the world. Just as He has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways, then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to the many nations, but you shall not borrow. How much debt do we have now? Multi-trillions of dollars of debt. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. Now the curses on disobedience. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments and His statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. See if you recognize any of these in the daily report of what's going on in our nation. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. I'm mindful of the empty shelves I've seen recently at the stores I've visited. The supply lines being dried up. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. Again, I said this is a reference to war. Just think of Afghanistan recently and the pullout there. What a disgrace, what an embarrassment on our nation. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly. because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the plague cling to you. Are there any plagues clinging to us right now that just will not go away? Getting worse, actually. Until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption. That means your raw materials, your goods will be used by others, and yourself, it'll just be used up. With fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with a sword, with scorching, and with mildew, they shall pursue you until you perish. That means those things will pursue us. I'm reminded of the, of course, with COVID, one of the big killers is inflammation. That's part of that disease. When we fear, our bodies become inflamed. Inflammation leads to a lot of the diseases that we suffer with as human beings. There's a whole lot more in this passage, but I want to keep moving. So how does this relate to fear of the Lord? Well, Pastor, I don't see how this is the fear of the Lord. Well, they haven't said it yet. So skip on down to verse 58. If you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name. So here we go. This is tied to fear, and fear is tied to obedience and keeping the commandments of the Lord. The Lord your God, then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sicknesses. Moreover, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the law will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. You shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven in multitude, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And it shall be that just as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you to nothing. And you shall be plucked from off the land which you go to possess. America's enemies are numerous. China's soft attack on us through the coronavirus has been devastating to our economy and our nation. Terrorist attacks within our borders are increasing, and enemies crossing our borders are rising. No one fears America, and soon will bring the fight to our doorstep instead of we bringing it to theirs. It's a sign that we have lost the fear of the Lord as a nation. But America is not Israel, one may reply to this scripture. True, it is not. But we were founded as one nation under God, the God of the Bible, the God of righteousness, just as Israel was founded. We both call upon the same God who blesses obedience and curses disobedience. We are His. And aside from Israel, the one nation in all the world that was established under and guided by the hand of the God of the Bible and the Ten Commandments is America. So we may not be named Israel, but we are grafted into their promises. We suffer the same consequences as they did when they rejected God, their Father. When we fear God by honoring His commandments, it's good news. We will be blessed, both as a nation and personally. And we talked about those blessings last week. I've been going over them this week. I want those for my life and my family and this church. But if we do not fear Him, I would suppose logically that some of the curses that we feel, that we read about, would also be felt personally. We already see them plaguing our nation as a whole, do we not? So what can we do? You and I sitting here today, to make any difference in the direction of our nation? The answer is we can begin fearing the Lord in our own lives. Our country is made up of small parts. The family, the little households sprinkled all over this land. You and me sitting here, and millions of little parts just like us. As go the parts, so goes the whole. This is why the devil has been assaulting the family for decades, weakening the undergirding of our nation. And if he can infect the small parts, he knows that it will infect the whole. And he has done just that. Bravo, devil. So logically, to fix this problem, we must begin with the nucleus of our society. You and me doing our part as the bride of Christ. In 2 Chronicles 2, verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. This past year, we've heard this verse 100 times, haven't we? We've participated in it, and we've prayed it, and we've declared it. But did you ever really consider what it is advocating? It is advocating the fear of the Lord. And last week, we pointed out the link between humility and fear of the Lord. It says, if my people will humble themselves. See, there's a link with humility and fear of the Lord. In Proverbs 22, verse 4, it says, the reward for humility and the fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. That is abundant life. That is a long life that is not cut short by the pestilences and diseases and war. If we want to see this nation saved, and maybe it's not too late, we have got to begin living in and taking the fear of the Lord seriously. So how do we learn to fear the Lord if we do not? Or how do we increase in it if our fear meters are a little low this morning? I could say read your Bible and pray more, and that would be absolutely 100% accurate. But since you hear it every Sunday as the answer to everything, because it is, you might be looking for even more. Therefore, I want to suggest a few more steps based off of Psalm 34. These are proven to work for those who want to learn how to walk in the fear of the Lord. The first is, as with anything that you want to get good at, you practice the small stuff first. You take baby steps. And in this case, it means thinking about the fear of the Lord, realizing that it's important. And when you wake up in the morning, begin asking yourself, how can I walk in the fear of the Lord this day? As you go throughout your day, think about the fear of the Lord. Think about His presence around you and His nearness to you. Begin thinking about it. That's how the devil gets his stuff in our nation. He gets us thinking about it. He gets us talking about it. And once it's there, it's just part of our everyday life. It's the same thing with the things of God. If we think about them and talk about them and surround ourselves with them, it'll just be a part of our natural everyday life. So the first step is to think about the fear of the Lord and in its importance it is in our life. The second is to obey the Lord. Then depart from evil and do good. This is straight out of the Bible. Psalm 34:14. The writer of Psalms. His question is, do you want to learn the fear of the Lord? Okay, listen up if you do. And he goes down to, he lists a couple things, and then he lists in verse 14, depart from evil and do good. And there is a reason why this is in there. When we depart from evil, it loses its grip on us. It only makes sense. And we are more freely able to follow Christ. Once we break the grip of evil, we are more able and easily we can follow Christ. Sin has a dulling effect on the fear of the Lord. I'll say that again. Sin has a dulling effect on the fear of the Lord. When we are walking in sin, it dulls our fear of the Lord. The third thing is, ask for more fear of the Lord. Ask the Lord for more fear of the Lord. This is His will. He wants to give us more of fear of the Lord. It is now my prayer every day when I pray Psalm 91. I finish the prayer, Lord, would You give me more fear of the Lord? And I tell you what, throughout the day, He reminds me to be mindful of the fear of the Lord. He does. I can feel it increasing in me. So if I had to sum up fear of the Lord, I know there's a lot to remember. We've covered a lot of things. It would be in the form of a question, really. Am I ready to stand before my judge right now? Am I ready to stand before my judge and give account for my life? You see, we presume we'll live another day, that we'll always have time to get right with God, to clean up our act, so to speak. I was reminded this week, painfully reminded. There is a pastor friend of mine I shared with the prayer group on Wednesday night. Pastor of a church in San Diego, a large church. On fire for the Lord. They're just amazing church. Liana, that was her home church for 17 years or 14 years, something like that. This pastor was Liana's pastor. I mean, he went to our wedding. We knew him. I knew him on a first name basis. Liana knew his wife very well and still does. Everything going for him. He had meetings on his calendar this week, planning the trip to Israel in the spring, meeting with other pastors, men's things going on, presents to buy, birthdays to attend for his grandkids. He got COVID. Everybody's getting COVID, it seems like. And it started getting a little worse. And thought, you know, we need to go to the hospital. On his way to the hospital in the ambulance, his heart hemorrhaged. The COVID didn't kill him. His heart blew. And he died in the ambulance on the way to the hospital. His daughter was in the ambulance with him. Here's a man that has served the Lord for over 50 years. His last words were, I'm walking up the hill with Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Those are his last words. That was a man that was prepared to die. It brought the reality to me again, and the fear of the Lord, that we are not guaranteed our next breath. We think, oh, maybe because I lead a Bible study or I attend a Bible study, I attend a church, I do so many good things, I'm a good person, surely God would never allow me to die. When our number is up, our number is up. And we need to be ready to go. We need to be prepared to stand before our judge in an instant and give account of our life. And hopefully we've lived a life worthy of the blood of Jesus Christ that He sacrificed for us. We have not trampled under the Son of God and counted it as nothing the precious blood of Jesus, as the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 10. We need to fear God. We need to fear Him right now. In Luke 12, verse 5, Jesus says, But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are you wasting your time on frivolous things? Things that have no heavenly reward or benefit? Are you holding on to petty offenses and unforgiveness? Are you involved in God-dishonoring activities? He wants more for your life, by the way. He wants better for your life. He wants to bless you. But when we're living in sin, when we're saying, no, God, I don't fear you, He cannot bless that. Please understand that God cannot bless sin. For 2022, all things are pointing to this year being a very difficult year for those who do not know Jesus. For those who do know Jesus, it's going to be a testing. Do we walk in the fear of the Lord, or do we walk in the fear of man and the fear of other things? I'm telling you, get your house in order. Get your house in order. This may be your last day. You may be standing. When Ray got up in the morning, his bed probably left undone, probably got his house shoes by the door. Maybe he had some breakfast. Maybe he's got his plate laying there and his fork. Maybe he had a small conversation with his wife and kids. I'm not feeling too good. I think I'm going to head to the hospital. When he woke up that morning, he did not know that he would finish the day in the presence of Jesus. Are you ready to be with Jesus? Get your house in order. Because it may be too late when it comes upon you suddenly. As I was made aware this week yet again. Usually I like to leave you with an uplifting cheer. I want to encourage you this morning to use the fear of this message in a good way. Seek the Lord. Turn from evil. Receive the benefits and the blessings that Jesus wants to give you. And get your house in order. Walk in the fear of the Lord and grow in righteousness and holiness. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reminder to get our house in order, to walk in the fear of the Lord. Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders that they would come to an understanding of the fear of the Lord and what it means to fear you. Lord, it is evident by everything we see all around us that our nation no longer fears the Lord. And we are suffering the consequences of a nation that has embraced rebellion and shunned holiness. Well, God, we pray that you would save our nation, and we pray that it would begin with us this morning, this little country church. God, that we would begin walking in the fear of the Lord, and that the fire of the fear of the Lord would spread. We pray for revival in our nation, revival in this city. We pray, Lord, that you would send revival of the Holy Spirit, a revival of repentance, and a revival of the fear of the Lord. God, may we be mindful that we serve not only a God, but we serve the God. And there is nothing above you, nor anything that is greater than you, nor anything or anybody that is stronger than you. We fear you alone, and we trust in you, Lord. We stand and we pray against the spirit of fear, and we cast it out and away in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, lead us this week. Teach us the fear of the Lord in all that we do. Keep us safe on the roads and bless our families. Bless us in our going out and our coming in. Bless our finances. Bless our health. Bless our relationships. Bless all that we put our hands to. Bless our children and bless our parents. Bless our work and bless our rest. We thank you, mighty God. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering this morning. Next week, I'm going to do a little teaching, maybe for the next couple weeks, on socialism and the theology of democracy in America, and it's tied directly into this little message series. So God bless you. Have a great week. Be careful out there.